Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is
risen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, you gave your only Son to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. And by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of death. Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from Acts. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one ordained by God. As judge of the living and the dead, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 118 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
Let Israel know.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shall we rejoice?
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not die.
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open
this is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you.
Stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go out and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Early in the morning, three women approached the tomb bearing precious ointments to wash the body of the Lord. They had come out to comb Jesus' hair, to wipe away the dried blood from his body, to anoint him with the precious nard that they carried. This was their last act of kindness of compassion for the Lord Jesus. They were doing the ritual washing that would normally have been done before a body is sealed into a tomb. They had come to anoint the crucified one. And yet, even as they walked along and discussed how were they going to get into that tomb, because it had been, this cave had been sealed or closed by a huge boulder that they had rolled in front of it. And they wondered, how are we going to get that stone out of the way to get into that tomb? And as they approached, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. And they found an empty tomb. Empty, except for a young man who was certainly not Jesus in that tomb. And suddenly, they were afraid. They were afraid that their last chance to do something for Jesus had been taken away from them. Their last chance to show a little compassion for the broken body was gone. They were afraid that they were witnessing the final insult to this tragic event. First, Jesus' life had been taken from them, and now his body had been stolen. And more profoundly, they were afraid that indeed death had won. Death was finally and completely had taken their beloved friend. The story of Easter morning begins with fear. The young man robed in white offers some surprising words of comfort to these three women. "Do not be afraid," he says. "You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place that they laid him. But go and tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him just as he told you." This is the great Easter proclamation. He has been raised. He is not here. And it was this hopeful message that we all have been waiting for as well. The stone has been rolled back. The tomb is empty. Not because someone has stolen the body, but because the power of God is stronger than the power of death. At this joy and good news, this is the best good news. So why were these women afraid? After hearing the young man or the angel, Mark tells us that the three women fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And with that word, Mark ends his gospel. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Jesus' news, the news of Jesus' resurrection and their being commissioned, sent, told by this angel to go and tell, utterly fail. They leave that place in fear and they say nothing to anyone. I would say that Mark ends his gospel with a very lousy ending. So lousy, in fact, that the early scribes in the church, copying the words of the gospel for future generations, they said, "This is a lousy ending. I think I'll add a sentence or two. You know, I'm going to make them." Oh, later they changed their mind and did say something. Later they went and told Peter, make the gospel sound more like the other gospels. But you know, maybe Mark had all intention of leaving that gospel with that word of fear, that kind of disappointing ending for us, because it's not over. It's just a beginning. We are invited to enter into that story. When it ends like that, that's our story. That's when we begin to take part in the story. The story of what God is doing in and through Jesus isn't over yet. It's not a story from first century. It's just the beginning. Easter resurrection isn't a conclusion. It's an invitation. Jesus' triumph over sin and death is just the beginning. This gospel is all about inviting us to live resurrection lives and to continue the story of God's redemption of the world. Now, we should have seen that ending coming from Mark's gospel. Mark starts out his gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. This is the beginning of the story of Jesus, the Son of God. Mark's whole gospel is just the beginning of the story. We are continuing the story of what God has done and is doing through Jesus Christ. It's only the beginning. The story isn't over. It's only the beginning, and we are part of the story. We are part of the action. If you ever wonder why there's so much distress and suffering and pain, it's because God isn't done yet. It's only the beginning. The good news is that we are invited into the story, sharing our news that Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us in our suffering. Jesus is with us in our triumph over injustice. Jesus is with us in his victory over death. If you have ever lost a loved one, if you have ever suffered in pain and in sorrow and in grief, the good news is that's not the end of the story. The story continues. That was the beginning of the story. God is with us in our suffering. Today, in our prayers together, in our sharing the bread and wine from this table in Holy Communion, we are empowered and equipped to work for the good in all situations. Even when we run away in fear, even when we say nothing to anyone, God is still working through us to continue that story like the women on that first Easter. God continues to work through us. God's promises are being fulfilled in you, in us, today. It's only the beginning. And the rest of the story, maybe the best of the story, is still unfolding in our lives. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.